It is very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan. Welcome along to the show. Sorry we're a little bit late. We had a few technical issues and you can blame Bill Gates for that. Nothing to do with me. Windows decided it didn't want to operate anymore, but closing it once or twice seems to sort out the problem, and especially when you have no idea what the problem actually was in the first place, that can be quite frustrating. Now, we do want to talk about free speech. Maybe they were trying to interfere with us. Maybe we were being hacked by the authorities or something. I don't know. Now, you may have noticed over the weekend that Pavel Durov, Russian-born founder of Telegram messaging service and social media app, has been arrested in France for failing to comply with the official demands to regulate content posted on the app. According to a warrant issued by the French Ministry of Offman, an office tasked with preventing violence against minors, Durov's alleged offences include abetting fraud, drug trafficking, cyberbullying, organised crime, child pornography and promotion of terrorism. X has also been sued by many territories, including the UK, EU and Australia, with many posts being removed on a daily basis and fines given to Elon Musk. Elon Musk has been threatened, of course, of being banned from entering the United Kingdom over his tweet that he criticised world leaders when he said civil war was inevitable, talking about the UK. And the UK are now jailing people for retweeting memes that may be considered incitement, racist, Islamophobic or generally very offensive. Simon Harris is determined to bring in hate speech laws that have no definition for the word hate. And it seems the EU, the UK and globally there is an attack on free speech in this changing world that we live in. And much of the speech is related to the global problem of mass migration. Now, the right have been accused of most of the breaches of free speech, while the left seem free to say what they want, as they allegedly are on the right side of history. Now, remember, at no time in history, speaking of history, has any authority ever censored speech for good reason. The church attempted to ban speech here in Ireland while they were raping and abusing children, and they wanted to keep their dirty secret a secret. And of course, when the printing press was developed, some governments and authorities did indeed try to regulate it, restrict it, or ban its use because they feared it could spread dissent, misinformation, or ideas that challenge their power. The rapid spread of printed material included pamphlets, booklets, flyers, which allowed the dissemination of ideas that could challenge religious and political authority. In the 16th century, the Catholic Church and various European monarchies were concerned about the spread of Protestant ideas following the Reformation, as these could undermine both religious and political control. William Tyndale, who was translated originally the Bible into English and had it printed, was executed in 1536 for heresy. For instance, in the early Ottoman Empire, they were cautious about adopting the printing press for fear that it would spread non-Islamic ideas and weaken the religious social fabric of society. And in 1515, Sultan Bayezid of the Second issued an edict prohibiting the use of the printing press by Muslims. So is history just repeating itself in a modern digital world? And the real question is, because we fight for it, is free speech absolute? Now, by saying that, it means, in other words, you can say whatever you want, whenever you want. Should there be any restrictions on speech whatsoever? We want to get your thoughts on this. Should there be restrictions on speech whatsoever? Let us know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. And joining me is Ben Scallon, journalist and reporter with Grip Media. Ben, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. Great to be here as always.
And I do apologise for the delay there, Ben. We had a slight technical issue, which I'm sure you're well used to with media every now and again. Anyway, I believe actually that on the day, which it's a funny story if you don't mind me telling you, on the day of your interview with Elon Musk, which you had been trying to get for quite some time, and obviously only found out at the last minute because he's a busy man, I believe you had technical issues just before the interview as well. And I remember you telling me all about that and how frustrating that can be. So we all know how frustrating.
Yeah, that was panic-inducing because, as you say, I'd been chasing him for months and he'd agreed. He kept agreeing. He said, yeah, we'll do it. But then we kept setting dates and it kept getting pushed back because of one thing or another. And then finally I asked him, I said, hey, would you be available on this date? And he said, I can do it in 30 minutes. And I almost had a heart attack because you're not expecting to have that dropped in your lap so suddenly. So it was a mad scramble. But thank God we got there in the end.
I mean, look, when we look at free speech, and Elon Musk, by the way, is one of the, I suppose they could class him as the perpetrators of bad speech over the last few months, because world leaders have constantly criticised his own personal tweets and his control over X, or Twitter as it's formerly known. I mean, do you believe that free speech is absolute? Throughout history, we've tried to cancel speech, haven't we?
I think there's a few thoughts on this that are not discussed enough. And one of those would be that when we talk about free speech, I think that's really a shorthand for what we should be talking about, which is freedom of opinion. You know, I think that any opinion a person has is sacrosanct, even if it's a horrible opinion, even if it's an opinion that, you know, you or I would find heinous and disgusting. I don't think it's the job of any government or regulator to try and control what people think about things.
But how far do you take that? So I post online today, Hitler was right. That's an opinion. I don't agree with that opinion, by the way, but that's an opinion, isn't it?
I think that, again, as you say, that's a disgusting opinion. It's an opinion that you or I would have no time for. But the rationale, I think, for taking this freedom of opinion stance is by forcibly shutting people up who say things like that, you're not dissuading them of the opinion. They still hold the opinion. They're just not allowed to talk about it anymore, which leads to further resentment and problems. So I think for me personally, the line is actions, obviously calls to action. If you say, I'm going to kill you, or we should attack this person or attack this group of people, that's not an opinion anymore. That's an action or a call to action. And so clearly the state should have a role in regulating that. If you just believe something that's incredibly dumb or gross or offensive, I mean, we can just say as a society that's dumb and gross and offensive. We don't have to have police kicking down people's doors just because they said something that the rest of us find.
But when we look at Pavel Durov, okay, now I'm not on Telegram, so I'm not very familiar with it, but I'm well aware of what it is. It's kind of like the dark web of social media, I suppose, really, isn't it? I mean, it's anonymous. People have groups on it where they discuss, I suppose, plans, where they discuss illegalities. They can discuss anything. It's not always like that, by the way. There's lots of good stuff on it too, I'm sure. But that happens, mind you, on X too, and it happens on probably Facebook too, but it's probably better regulated. In relation to, these are just vehicles. These are private companies who are offering a service. Just like, for example, the service we're on now is a private company offering a service of an internet communication where me and you are discussing something. So should me and you, if we start talking about something that's illegal, should the private company who provides my internet be responsible? And somebody put up a really good analogy yesterday. Let's arrest the founder and the CEO of BIC. After all, he invented the pen. We write down bad ideas. The criminals, for example, who may have set up 9/11, they might have sent letters to each other, for example. You know, I mean, the phone networks, where we have a little chat on the conversation on the telephone and I tell you, listen, I'm planning on, you know, blowing up the Eiffel Tower tomorrow or something like that. You know, should the phone network be responsible for allowing us to have that conversation? That's essentially what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the discussion around these issues is downstream from where it should be. You know, politicians talk about the problem is that people are saying horrible things on this platform or that platform, or they're using this medium to communicate dodgy ideas or whatever it might be. The issue is not the vehicle through which they're communicating it, because they would communicate it through another vehicle. If Telegram didn't exist, they'd find another platform. If that platform didn't exist, they'd find another platform. The medium through which they're communicating is not the core issue here. The fact of the matter is, it's the fact that people think those things, the fact that people hold radical or extreme or criminal views, that's the problem. And the way you address that is by first of all, tackling them head on, acknowledging that that is the problem. And also, in the case of ideology, if they hold an extreme ideology, like Islamist extremism, for example, making efforts to try and dissuade them of that. If it's criminality and they're engaged in criminal behavior, arresting the people who are engaged in that sort of organized crime. I don't think that the means through which they're communicating is the core issue here. It's the fact that there are people in society who want to engage in that sort of violent or extreme or radical rhetoric that is the issue.
We're seeing in the UK currently at the moment people being jailed for retweeting or re-Xing, whatever the word is nowadays, you know, memes that are considered Islamophobic, considered to be incitement or indeed racist or just offensive. I mean, they've taken it to the extreme now, haven't they?
Well, I'd have to see what the posts are, because this is another element that I don't want anybody to misunderstand, that there are things out there which are, you know, beyond... they would cross a line in most people's opinion. You know, I'm not of the view that anybody should be allowed to say anything at any time. This is what
Yeah, but should I be jailed?
When it comes to freedom of opinion.
Let me give you an example. Let's say a post, right, on X by somebody in the UK is, I believe Islam is a dangerous religion and they all run around stabbing each other or stabbing people. Now, clearly that's not true, but I put that up on X. Should I be jailed for that? Because that's, I suppose, the type of thing that people are being brought to court for in the UK currently at the moment. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's wrong to post that kind of stuff, but should I be jailed for it?
No, I mean, if you ask me, I say no. I'd also, I mean, I'm a devout Catholic. I think that people should be allowed to say things about my faith or about Catholics that I would personally find very offensive. That it's something that I would strongly object to, but I don't think that that's something that you should be jailed for, because again, as we've said before, the manifestation of somebody's view is not the issue. It's the fact that they hold that view. It's the fact that we live in a society where people feel extremely divided from one another, extremely extreme animosity towards each other. That's kind of the core issue that we're seeing, and everything that we're seeing online is just an outworking of that underlying social division. All free speech does is it exposes divisions that already exist. It doesn't create them. And the analogy I've heard used before is it's like you have a pressure cooker and there's steam coming out of it, and you decide to block the steam because you find the sound of it annoying. Well, you're going to get an explosion, because that steam coming out, as annoying as the sound might be, is the safety valve that the pressure cooker was using to prevent it from blowing up. That's where we are socially as a society. You have to allow the steam to come out if you don't want things to blow up. And unfortunately, we're heading towards a lot of blow-ups on a lot of different issues.
I mean, when we see these kind of restrictions on free speech or the attempts by the EU, by Ireland, the United Kingdom and globally in relation to, you know, free speech, it all comes down to one thing. Well, most of it at the moment seems to be around migration. And migration obviously is a huge problem in the world. Different countries have different levels of chaos going on currently at the moment. And it almost seems for most people that it's governments of the world trying to silence people who don't agree with it or don't believe, you know, this is a positive thing for society. I mean, so where do we go from here? Are we, I mean, when we look at the EU and they say, well, look, we want to, you know, we want to clamp down on dangerous speech. This is like saying to a child, here's a bag of sweets, but I just want you to eat one of them. In other words, let's just take one of those sweets. But realistically, the bag will be empty in 5 minutes. And people fear that once you allow some level of control to a government or an authority, you head down the road of totalitarianism and these kind of Orwellian laws that we want to introduce on free speech, for example, or hate speech. So, you know, once you allow a little bit, they can take more. And that isn't that the problem that people see?
Yeah, I think this is a big issue as well, that even if we agreed in principle that there should be some regulation of the kinds of things that people can say and that, you know, there should be some control over it, you have to ask, do we trust the current political class with such an ability? I mean, do we trust their judgment to be fair and reasonable? I mean, I hate to bring every conversation back to this issue because obviously it's only one issue, but I think it's emblematic of so much that we have a political class that can't even tell you how many genders there are. They can't even tell you what a woman is or understand basic biology. There's so many fundamental things, basic views that people have held for decades, you know, since the last century, that they would now deem to be far right and extremist if you believe what your parents or your grandparents believed their whole lives. And so when you have a political class and a leadership class that are so warped in their view of the world and what is offensive and what isn't, and they're so hypersensitive, I don't know that I want those people controlling anything about the way I can speak. You know, if we had a class of very sober, calm, reasonable people who were in charge, and they said, yeah, we want to ban the extreme fringes and the most hateful, mad stuff out there, you might be inclined to say, all right, well, that sounds fair enough. But that's not what we have. And so I don't think that I would trust these people as far as I can throw them, frankly.
I mean, Simon Harris has had a lot to say in the last few weeks in relation to free speech. But his argument is mainly around what he believes is misinformation. Mind you, this is a government, of course, who've been guilty of so much misinformation, it's kind of incalculable at this stage. I mean, he was in Béla Bláth speaking over the weekend in relation to, you know, misinformation and in relation to speech, etc., etc. And yet there was the place, I suppose, where the man who fought for free speech in Ireland stood, Michael Collins. I think the man would be rolling in his grave listening to what Simon had to say. But, you know, do you believe that Simon Harris has a point, that do we have to control misinformation? Forget about dangerous information. But misinformation, you know, I mean, are the government themselves, I mean, responsible for misinformation constantly all the time?
Well, as you and I have discussed before, misinformation, disinformation, if you look at the actual definition of it in the dictionary, it basically just means lying. It means spreading information that is not true deliberately with an intent to deceive. And it's a Cold War era term that originated from the Soviet Union and that sort of time period. And so what we're effectively asking, what we ask, should the government be able to regulate disinformation, is should politicians be allowed to regulate lying? And
when you say it like that, it sounds funny.
It sounds comical, because we all know that politicians as a general breed, not just in Ireland, but in the entire world, in the history of the world, are the most dishonest people usually in any given society. You think about Bill Clinton, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman," or all of these sorts of classic scandals that we're all familiar with in every jurisdiction. And it's always been like that going back hundreds of years. As long as there's been politics, there's been politicians telling porkies. And so the idea that we would give those people control over lies is just ludicrous. Of course, we all understand and agree that people spreading false information is a bad thing. Nobody's going to say, yeah, it's great when I get lied to. It's fantastic when people say things that are false. Of course, that's not a good thing. What we're arguing about is, are politicians the right people to control that? And the answer is quite clearly no.
Ben, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. Ben Scallon, Grip Media, I really appreciate it, and we shall talk to you again very soon. There you go, Ben Scallon, a journalist, senior journalist with Grip Media, and some great work by Ben, by the way, during the week. If you want to go onto the Grip website there, there's some great videos that he did in relation to the right and the left, and who's obviously betraying most of the lies out there, telling most of the untruths. Anyway, so please do support Grip Media. Now, let me go to some of our callers as well, if I can, in relation to this. And the question we're simply asking today is free speech absolute, and should there be any restrictions at all on speech? Let me go to Aaron, if I can, first. Aaron, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Niall? No, not too bad, thank you.
Good, Aaron. Go ahead.
Missed out a little bit of what Ben was saying there while I was just waiting on the studio call there, but I'm sure it was informative as always. And as you mentioned, he's done some absolute fantastic work, not only in the last week or two, but since setting up Gripped. And I suppose Gripped was that, similar to yourself, the platform to give people a voice and to have our freedom of speech expressed, I suppose, publicly. You know, Niall, you know, that's important. And when I saw the topic today, I didn't hesitate to get in touch with the studio, because I did feel as though, and I just heard what you spoke with Ben briefly there regarding Béla Bláth, and I did go down myself. I didn't go yesterday, but I did go down actually on the day of his anniversary, and I felt very similar to yourself, that he was wasn't our Taoiseach bold as brass to stand where that man was shot and speak the way that he did.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure a lot of people were proud of what he said, but a lot of people had misgivings and didn't believe it was appropriate, you know, some of the stuff that he said. Anyway, but I'm not going to get too much into that. But Aaron, should there be any restrictions on speech at all?
Yeah, you might be surprised that it comes from my mouth now, Niall, that I do believe in certain aspects maybe that there should. You touched on, I suppose, misinformation and things like that. I can see that creeping ever increasingly and more so into society. Of course, since the dreaded word, the COVID time, shall we say, a lot of misinformation does get spread, especially online. And I've seen quite a lot of that myself. But if we do fight or stand for freedom of speech, well, then unfortunately, we have to stand for the speech that we may not like. The only time that I feel as though that there should be some kind of, I suppose, censorship on information or on someone's speech is, of course, if they were misinforming the public. I do believe that there has to be some sense of control or authority in that manner. But as I reiterate my point, like, if we are to stand for freedom of speech, well, then I'm afraid we have to take on board maybe the voices and opinions that maybe we may not like from time to time.
Okay, so we have to take the good with the bad. So the idea that you would restrict speech, I mean, as you heard already, you know, I mentioned there a few minutes ago, the reason I'm talking about it today is because obviously the founder and CEO, Pavel Durov, the Russian-born founder of Telegram, has been arrested in France. Now, there's no doubt that, you know, some of the dregs would be on, you know, his social platform, Telegram. But in saying that, that's just the vehicle, isn't it? I mean, is he responsible?
Yeah, I'd agree completely that it is just the vehicle. But I suppose as the founder and I suppose the managing director of the business, I suppose he has to take a degree of responsibility as to what, I suppose, he
does
allows
he? Us. I mean, I gave a good analogy earlier on. The founder member of BIC, I can't remember his name now. But anyway, I actually did have his name there a few minutes ago. Should he be responsible, for example, for what you write when you write, use a pen?
No, well, of course not when you put it in that context, Niall. But I suppose the point that I would make on it is he is, of course, responsible for creating the platform and what goes on in the platform. I suppose we could go down the lines. Are McDonald's responsible for the burger that somebody eats with a hair in it? You know, the buck has to stop somewhere. Now, I certainly do not
agree. McDonald's responsible for obesity? Are McDonald's responsible if people eat too much food and become obese? Are Apple responsible if you're using your phone for the wrong reason, i.e. you're on Telegram or you're on other TikTok or whatever, X or whatever it is, saying bad things? Are Apple or Samsung responsible? Are the internet company that are allowing you and me to speak right now at this very moment of time, are they responsible for what we talk about? You know, where does that stop?
Indeed. No, I get the point, Niall, and I take it on board. But what I would say is, I suppose in different contexts, we could have fun with that conversation there, and I suppose we could go over and back like a tennis court, and we could find some value in some of what our stance fight is. But I do take on board fully what you're saying. The gentleman is obviously not responsible for what is written by an individual. The individual is responsible for that. I suppose it's the platform that he has made that is, it's so unique, and I suppose, like you say, there are certain groups and organisations take massive advantage of that, and I think they're trying to punish somebody, of course. And he is, I suppose, another figure. You could class Elon Musk or the likes of Julian Assange, or we could go on and on, where a figure that has changed the world basically with what he has founded. And I think Telegram is a great platform. I don't overly use it myself due to the usage on the phone. I find that it eats a lot of the battery and that on the phone. I do find that, but I've heard some great, I suppose, debate as to the differences between WhatsApp, for instance, and Telegram, the safety, security, it's encrypted. And, you know, I'm sure there's many, many groups, organizations and businesses that are, I suppose, 10 steps ahead of where they could or should be because of that platform. And at the same time, it is being abused, Niall. I would understand.
Absolutely. There are nefarious people on it for nefarious reasons. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Dave as well. Dave, hi, how are you?
What's the crack?
I mean, when you take, Dave, these companies, these social media companies, they are utility companies. They're not publishers. You know, they're not like Gripped, or they're not like the Irish Times or RTE. They're utility companies, just like your phone that you're on now. So is your phone company responsible for what you say to me now?
I know. Yeah, it is true. I mean, to be fair, like Telegram is a lot of bad stuff on Telegram compared to the other tech companies. And you know, there is a certain amount of hypocrisy if they're going to be pulling him in front of a court, yet the likes of Elon Musk or...
They reckon Elon Musk is next.
Or the robot guy who runs Facebook, Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that...
He's a nice guy. They won't go near him. He's a nice guy.
None of them are nice guys.
No, I'm just saying he plays, like, he's a big lefty, you know what I mean? So they're kind of happy enough with him that he does regulate Facebook more.
It's got nothing to do with politics. It's got to do with the fact that he works very closely with the Department of Defense, basically selling your data. That's why he gets away with it. No, look, it is a weird one. I mean, like, on the one hand, you have created a platform that is being used for nefarious purposes. So, like, I do believe that you should have some share of responsibility. You know, you can't just say, oh, I created this thing and people are using it for drug dealing, money laundering, gang crime and child pornography, but it's not my fault. You know, like, the problem doesn't necessarily lie with the person who's created it or necessarily the platform itself. The platform itself, it's a tool. It's like atomic power. You know, we can use it for free clean energy. We could also use it to make, the planet.
Yeah, but we can replicate this throughout history. But throughout history, you know, when the telephone was invented, when mobile phones came along, you know, phone networks. And I mentioned earlier on the printing press. If you go right back to the 15th century, where people were actually sentenced to death for stuff they printed, you know, translations of the Bible, etc.
True, but...
Yeah.
But if you had a publisher today that was printing and giving out stuff that was, like, full of misinformation... And stuff that was like, teaching you how to commit, say, identity theft or, you know, was inciting violence, that publisher would be held to task, you know. So
Telegram is not a publisher, it's a utility. No, so what you want to do now is ban the machine. Because do you understand what I'm saying?
No, that's what I mean. I don't want to ban anything. You see, the problem is, it's just the technology is outpacing our ability to police or legislate it. I mean, maybe when AI gets better, they can better moderate it. Like, he has said himself that he's light on moderation, which, you know, at the same time, you should be fairly big on your moderation. Just for, not necessarily for, like, I mean, look, people can say whatever the fuck they want to say. I don't particularly care. So long as you're not trying to incite violence. But when there's actual stuff like child sexual exploitation, drug dealing, money laundering, all that, when there is that kind of stuff on your platform, you do need to take a more proactive approach to at least try and address the problem and not just put your hands up and say, well, it's not my fault, other people are doing it. You know, I do think if you want to create these spaces, you should have some, I'm not just saying like there should be a legal obligation. I'm saying there should be a moral obligation on your part to make sure that your platform is about as safe as you can make. But again, there are so
But how can you do that without invading people's privacy? Because I suppose the idea of Telegram is it's fully encrypted. So even he doesn't know what's on it.
But see, herein lies the problem with this technology. And actually, just for people who might be listening to this and use Telegram, Telegram isn't encrypted. Telegram isn't end-to-end encrypted. And go to any reliable tech source and they will tell you anything you put on Telegram.
I don't know much about it. I set up an account on it about 3 years ago. I think I looked at it twice and haven't been on it since. I think I deleted it off my phone. I've never used it.
I was on it and, no, the amount of phishing scams, the amount of scams on it is ridiculous. Like, you could go onto Telegram right now and learn how to commit, like, check and fraud, identity fraud. It'll teach you how to write scripts so you can create a box.
It's kind of like the dark web. I've no interest in it. Do you know what I mean? It just because that sort of stuff doesn't appeal to me.
Do you know what it is? It's like the dark web light, basically. It's the dark web of social media.
Absolutely. I get that. But should the people responsible for the internet providers be responsible for people who access the dark web? I don't think so. But anyway, leaving who's responsible aside, when we talk about free speech being absolute, the problem we have is that when we allow an authority to say, well, okay, you can say this, this, and this, and this, but you can't say this, well, then essentially you're giving that child the bag of sweets and you're saying you can take one sweet out of it. And before you know it, the bag will be empty. So that is the problem, isn't it, when going forward, that if we allow some level of restriction by the EU and their digital treaty or Simon Harris and his hate speech laws or Keir Starmer or whoever it happens to be, when you allow a small amount of control over speech, well, that control just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but like, let's be honest, governments, and before governments, you would have had, you know, lords and kings and back as far as you want to go, back as far as we've had like civilization, people have always been trying to control people's speech anyway. But the real question is, when have you ever been stopped from saying anything?
Me,
like,
personally?
Like, I know people say...
On numerous occasions.
In general.
On numerous occasions.
No, but just... By who?
By media, in radio stations.
Yeah, but like, have they actually stopped you, though?
Yes. On numerous occasions. I won't go into it, Dave. I can't go into it. But on numerous occasions, right, I have been told about things I can and can't talk about.
Okay, I assume that's because you're working for somebody and they're saying, right, well, you can't say X, Y, and Z because you bring the company into disrepute, right? Well, that's a different story. That's more of an employer-employee kind of thing. Well, you have your podcast now. You can say literally whatever you want. And apart from, like, you know, inciting violence or inciting hatred.
Which I would never do, by the way.
No, I know you wouldn't. I know. We know now. You're a fierce, nice fella. But what I'm trying to say is, like, you meet people nowadays, right? Like, you meet people nowadays and said, oh, Hollywood is being censored by the government and blah, 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 blah. And they're not. Hollywood is censoring themselves because they want to make it into the Chinese market and make money. That's self-censorship. I have never been stopped from telling a bad joke. Nobody I know has ever had the Gestapo knocking on their door at nighttime saying, you said X, Y, and Z, you're going to the gulags, or we're going to put you in solitary
confinement. Yeah, but you're saying that, but that's what's currently happening in the UK at the moment. People are having the police knocking on the door and saying, you retweeted a meme yesterday that was considered to be Islamophobic and offensive to the Islamic community. You're being prosecuted.
Yeah, that's the UK. I mean, there was a Scottish comedian taught his Mrs. Dog how to, like, you know, when he said the Heil Hitler, like the dog would like do the take Heil. You know, and but that's Britain. Britain's always been like that. They've always been very restrictive on people's rights and people's speech.
I think that's coming to your door very soon. But just stay there for a second, please, Dave. Let me go to Jackie as well. Jackie, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good, and yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting points there.
Okay, but is free speech absolute? Yeah. Is it absolute, Jackie, or should there be restrictions on speech?
Yeah, and there, you know, when you get into as your last caller is talking about child pornography and. Mm-hmm. You know, to certain areas,
yeah,
that are have to be,
but they're illegal. There's a difference. They're illegal. You know, it's illegal to publish child pornography. So that's an illegality. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's illegal to, you know, there are certain things that are already illegal. So we don't need extra controls over that. I mean, if you publish child pornography online, you should go to jail. I mean, that's illegal.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to take away now, say, if just sit back here now and just think about this, if you were to take away X or Telegram or You or Grip Media and take, they were all gone. Jeez, where would we be? We'd be down a certain path here that we'd be like sheep. We wouldn't.
Well, you just have a situation where you have the mainstream media all agreeing with each other.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and so we cannot lose those platforms in a way. Like, we cannot lose those. And then it's like, okay, so you have the whoever is policing that, but who polices the police in a way? Like, because the thing is. With any of that, and the likes of Facebook is one way, and that seems to be a platform that's it's kind of fairly well restricted, and that. And then when you get on to X and that, it's very much open. Now, I know there's still people complaining that they said whatever, and then they were knocked off as well. But if you were to take that away, if you were to take all that away, Jesus, I think we'd be in an awful state. I don't know where you go or what you do.
I predicted X will not be in Europe by the end of this year.
Well, there's a serious campaign to try and get rid of it.
Okay.
Serious campaign.
So that's where we're starting to restrict speech to what the government believe is the right thing to say or what we should be allowed to say. And most of the debate currently at the moment, I would imagine a huge percentage of the debate, because I did look at a graph there recently on X, it revolves around migration. So migration is a global problem. It's not just an Irish problem. It's particularly bad here at the moment, but it's not just an Irish problem. It's a global problem, illegal migration. So, you know, if we stop people from talking about it, it just goes on ahead, doesn't it?
And then the other thing where you were talking about going on different programs or on TV or whatever, the first thing is you're told is you cannot talk about this. You have to keep away from this and that. Otherwise, you won't be able to go on. And I remember talking to Matthew McGrath about this and a couple more where they didn't go on because they weren't allowed to say what they wanted to say.
Yep.
So they weren't allowed on that TV show or that radio show.
Yeah,
so it is very much restricted.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Morgan as well. Morgan, hi, how are you?
Well, Niall, how are you?
Good. Morgan, okay, the idea that free speech is absolute, and you hear that line on a regular basis, it's not absolute, really, obviously, isn't it? You know, but what sort of restrictions should be on speech, or should there be any restrictions at all?
None at all. Essentially, you can't have a democratic society without unrestricted free speech. You simply cannot. The moment you give up free speech is the moment that a democratic society ends. And there's lots of red herrings here. I've heard people mention child pornography. That's nothing to do with free speech. That's to do with
that's illegal.
Publication of images and video. And it's illegal, of course. But for free speech, it's simply the ability to express one's opinions freely without fear or censorship or reprisal. And, you know, let's be honest, the reason that free speech is being restricted is to do with control of the population at the behest of a government. It's nothing got to do with protecting people. But they would argue
that people are misinforming the masses, so to speak, depending on how popular they are on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it happens to be, that they're informing the masses, and, you know, and that in itself can cultivate, you know, civil disobedience or cultivate, you know, kind of uprisings or rebellions or whatever, or a coup or whatever it might be.
Yeah, well, the only remedy to that is that we all take a vow of silence forever, you know, because I've yet to meet anybody who hasn't given me some form of misinformation. The only way we can get to the truth is through debate and conversation. And so, you know, I've been guilty of misinformation. I talk to my wife a lot of the time. The two of us misinform each other all the time.
Like, that's intentionally, everybody I know.
Yeah, unintentionally. But again, so there's disinformation. But again, who are the main perpetrators of this? It's governments and government agencies and militaries. People in their average everyday life don't, you know, intentionally misinform people or want to misinform the masses. The only way we can ever have that true democratic society is true, you know, unrestricted free speech, where you're not afraid to speak your mind. And one of your previous callers was asking you, when have you ever been told not to say something? You've been told it directly, but most people haven't. For most people, it's purely a psychological thing. It's like, oh, I can't say that because I'm getting in trouble. You made the example of the UK. Now people are saying, oh, well, I can't post that because I may get locked up. And it would be the same here if we have hate speech laws. Oh, well, I can't post that. I can't say this. I can't say that. And that's worse, because then that drives everything underground. And for government, it's actually more beneficial to them to have people actually post their thoughts online from a, you know, a crime detection point of view. It's actually easier. All they have to do is look at the fucking algorithms, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's actually counterproductive for them. But that's not what it's about. It's about controlling the narrative, controlling the conversation, having a public in fear, afraid to object to a government, afraid to stand up to a government. And in that case, we don't have a democratic society. Because in order for a democratic society, you have to have active citizens who, you know, should engage in the public debate and not be fearful about saying, oh, well, I object to that.
But what about incitement? Well, I mean, look, we already have laws around that from 1989. But what about incitement to hatred? So, you know, how far does your free speech go? Yes, you can put up an opinion. And we talked to Ben Scallon earlier on about opinions, and we need to protect the ability to have opinions because that's really important. But, you know, is putting up, you know, for example, and obviously I don't mean this, you know, I don't like black people and I think everybody should go out and do something to them. I mean, is that acceptable, that kind of rhetoric? You know, or I don't like, you know, Muslims, or I don't like Catholics, or I don't like whatever community it happens to be, and I think people should do something. Is that, that's incitement, isn't it?
It's some expression and an opinion. So if we're going to
that's not an opinion, is it? It's not really an opinion, is it? That's inciting people to be violent.
It might be what we consider, you know, a reasoned opinion, but it's somebody's opinion. And if we take that opinion away from that person, well, then we also have to say, okay, well, I'm going to take the opinion away from a homosexual person or a Catholic or a Muslim. We'll have to apply the standard across the board. But if someone does put up that opinion, well, then the best way to refute it is simply to, you know, refute it. Mm-hmm. Because if you say, okay, well, you can't say that, so you can't say that online, well, it doesn't mean they're going to stop, you know, okay, well, I can't say it online.
I mean, part of the Irish hate speech laws is in relation to Holocaust denial, for example, which is actually listed as part of the new Irish hate speech laws, which haven't been published yet, or not published, passed yet, should I say. So, you know, I've interviewed Holocaust deniers on numerous occasions. I find them very interesting people. Completely wrong, obviously, but I find them very interesting people. But I think it's fair to be able to interview people to find out what's going through the mind of somebody like that and why they feel that way, and to talk to them about it. We won't be able to do that in the future, if indeed these laws come into Ireland, because that would be illegal to have a Holocaust denier. There was a time in this country where you weren't allowed to publish a book that promoted abortion, for example, because abortion was illegal and the Catholic Church had a restriction on what books were allowed to be published in this country or sold in this country. So is this just kind of history repeating itself over and over again? As I mentioned earlier on, if you go right back to the Reformation and the Ottoman Empire and everything else, when the printing press came along, you know, people were sentenced to death for heresy, you know, if they printed something that was against what the government or religious societies thought at the time.
Yeah, pretty much. And you mentioned Holocaust denial, and we look at the conditions in that led up to the rise of Nazism in Germany. You know, it's pretty much similar today. Like, you know, so everything went kind of ape wild. Everything was massively progressive. People were restricted from expressing their objections to that type of society, and then it went underground. A charismatic figure arose, and you know, life went to it all went to tatters fairly quickly, you know. And the same with, and it doesn't have to be Nazism; it can be communism. It, again, once you start restricting what people can and can't say, and it's beyond what they can actually say, it's what they can think. But then you have people walking around in a perpetual state of fear. Oh my God, I can't say this, I can't say that, and we're pretty already, you know, to a large extent, we're still there now. I know, you know, lots of people who can't freely express an opinion in company, like in private company they will, but if you're at a dinner party and the topic of immigration comes up or anything like that, or even abortion, say up to 5 years ago, I know tens of people who actually, you know, have a moral objection to abortion, but they can't say it publicly because they're viewed as some sort of monster. Oh my God, you know, you're progressive, you're against women's rights and all
you're
that.
You're a conservative monster. Well, actually, Morgan, stay with me for a second.
Monster.
Yeah, well, I want to go to Nicholas as well. Nicholas, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are you?
Good.
I haven't heard all the comments, but I was listening to Morgan there and I would agree with pretty much everything he says. I mean, let's call this what it is. It's a political drive to suppress free speech, you know, with, you know, the Telegram and X coming under fire. And really, you know, we have in our constitution the right to freedom of expression. We also have laws of defamation. If you're upset by what somebody says or writes about you,
yeah, if they take away your character,
or
lie about
so
you,
you know, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. The Americans have their First Amendment as well, you know. So, you know, if Europe thinks they're going to upset the Americans by denying them their First Amendment, they're going to be not going to be very happy with them. But literally, you had. Harris there, you know, using his freedom of expression at Bail na Blá to, you could argue, defame the Irish citizens, calling them all sorts of things, you know. And
a lot of people are not very happy with what he said. Yeah, no, I understand that.
I won't defame.
No, don't. I'd rather you didn't.
But no, you know, I mean, it was a pathetic example. But I really think, you know, this is. And it's not even a thinly veiled attempt to suppress. And why are they doing it? Because they're afraid that people will express opinions and talk and discuss and have rational discussions about the lunacy that's going on within the political world. And that's what they're afraid of. And that it will affect their vote and re-election.
Okay, what about just getting back to you know, the CEO of Telegram, who was arrested in France. You know, because obviously Telegram, I suppose, as so far as social media is concerned, it's one of the ones that would have the most amount of freedom for people to post whatever they want to post. It doesn't matter what it is. So he's been arrested on alleged offences, including abetting, fraud, drug trafficking, cyberbullying, organised crime, promotion of terrorism, and many other things as well. In other words, he didn't do all of those things, but abetted them by providing a platform for people to do those things. I mean, do you think that's correct? Do you think that's the way to go? Because, I mean, obviously Elon Musk is worried now that he's next.
Well, look, the online platform is the new sort of newspaper, isn't it? You know, it's where people, you know, where people would write to the paper and express their opinions or whatever, you know. So now people have, you know, the freedom globally and not just within Ireland, but you can converse with people all over the world and express opinions. And his platform is just like what used to be...
Well, it's a messaging app, more so,
Or the phone into it, to show like what we're doing now. So it's another form of that, really.
Well, it is only a utility. All of these platforms claim not to have responsibility because they make the claim that they are utilities and not publishing companies.
Now, I don't think people should go have anonymous accounts, you know, where they don't identify exactly who they are. I think that's cowardice, you know. I've never done that online. People always know exactly who I am. But, you know.
Well, me too, But some people, you know. But I can see the reason why people want to be anonymous, genuine reason, legitimate reasons. If you're in a very credible job, for example, or you want to be a whistleblower, you know, I can see genuine reasons why anonymity is a good thing.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That does make sense to me. But in general terms, I think people should be... They should stand on their ground. Yeah, you know what I mean? If they make a mistake, they should say it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know.
All right. Well, listen, Nicholas. Thank you for that. Sorry, I'm flying through people here because so many people want to come on. Gladys, hi. Sorry for keeping you so long. I do apologise.
Yeah, no problem, Niall. How are you?
Good. Is free speech absolute, Gladys? Nicholas believes yes to a degree. It should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bad with the good. The bad with the good.
Well, it's always been the bad with the good, you know. It's always has been that way. If you have free speech, you can't, as others have said, so I don't want to be repeating, you can't have a democracy. If, you know, I there's lots of things, you know, from the dead brain megaphone on all these platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read their nonsense, do you know what I mean? But I give them, they have a right to write that crap. And I have a right not to read it or not to believe it. Or whatever, and find my information.
But but you're a clever person. As far as the government are concerned, not everybody is as clever as you that can decipher the misinformation. You know, some people are easily led. You know what I mean?
Yeah, easily led. Now, honestly, do you know what I mean? I tell you what the government have done now. They've woken us up. That's what they've done. And that's what frightens them, because we were going along asleep and not taking much notice of what was going around us in society.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now woken up. Because we can see with our eyes. We're not that thick. We can see what's happening. And we're not that thick. And they can't handle it because they're after messing up big time. Or that they have a mindset and you name it. But what I really, really resent overnight, the psychological silence. And I have had that done to me. The eyes rolling, you know, she's going to say something now. Oh, gosh, you know. Oh, the great unwashed, you know.
Yeah. How dare she?
You know.
Yeah.
How dare she? How dare she have that opinion? And I find that from the left, the most appalling, dismissive arrogance that I've ever come across. I've never come across it in my lifetime, you know, before. It is this, oh, God, you know, of course a man can be a woman, God's sake, you stupid.
How dare you suggest otherwise?
Yeah, you know, and what's wrong
with
you?
But here's the thing. There was a time on X, not now, but going back before Elon Musk had it, that if you dared suggest that a man couldn't become a woman, you'd be suspended from X.
Absolutely. So, oh my God, I want to kiss your man's feet, you know, for allowing people to dispel nonsense, disinformation, dangerous information. And as you stated, that all of the stuff, trafficking, human trafficking, child abuse, all of that kind of, and all the other platforms, they're criminal offences, as you've stated. And if they're found and caught, they should be in jail like the rest. But if I say to you that, you know, whatever, you know, nonsense, and you say, oh, for God's sake, that's all you have to say is for God, you know.
Yeah, or just don't read your posts again, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the block button is there for a purpose, isn't it? I mean, you just block the person.
Exactly. And I was just thinking, you know, that Enda O'Brien has just been laid to rest and her books were banned and she had to go to the UK and, you know, sort of thing. Like, I mean, we've lived through times where you couldn't read a book. You know, we had the Catholic Church had, you know, their foot on our neck about what we could say and what we couldn't say.
Meanwhile, they were abusing and raping children. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go, you know, sort of thing like, and then we have a state now who wants to, and you've got to question.
I mean, I remember there was the famous story of the Irish Independent, I think it was, or it could have been the Press at the time, when we had the Evening Press. We're going to print a story about a bishop who had been moving a priest around who had been guilty of abusing a child. And three bishops literally went physically to the press that day to stop them running the story. I mean, so this is back in the 1970s and 80s, right? I'm not too sure exactly when it was. But that was a true story. Again, obviously, they tried to shut Gay Byrne up. And Gay Byrne was the first one, in fairness to him, on the Late Late Show, to expose a lot of that.
Disinformation, misinformation. In this now, because it's coming up again, you know, sort of thing with the mother and baby scheme and all of that, of nuns, religious orders, deliberately lying to a child looking for their parent. Deliberately telling them, lying, talk about disinformation, misinformation in the most cruelest form, telling them, oh, your mother's dead, you know, she never wants to, you know, she's dead, and you name it, when the woman would be alive,
And then yeah, and you ask them. who was she? We don't have that information. When they actually do, they have it right in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the government has absolutely, you know, sort of thing like, and the religious and all of these share, have no credibility to tell us what to think and what not to think and what to say and what not to say.
Gladys, thank you very much indeed for that. Let me just go to Jessica. Sorry, she's on our break, so I didn't want to keep her too long, but I do apologise now. I've kept her 15 minutes. But go on, Jessica, sorry.
Oh, you're grand. No, you're grand. No, look, as everyone said, I don't want to sound like a broken record to you, but bad on both. Like, they can be bad enough on both sides.
Mm.
Between your fair liberals who are there, like, you can be whatever you want to be, and then your other side of the coin, which is, you know, the neo-Nazis and everything. Like, it's bad enough on both sides. It's a fine line.
But should they be all allowed to just go at it and just say whatever they want?
No, that's what I mean. Like, so to me, words like actions, they all have consequences. Say whatever you want, but don't be surprised when you get backlash or consequences for
it. Okay, but what should those consequences be? Should those consequences just be consequences of just other people saying you're wrong or you shouldn't say that? Or should those consequences be a knock on the door from the police to take you to jail? What should those consequences be? That's what we're arguing over, isn't it?
Well, like you said, if it's actual incitement, like you're trying to like stir people up to cause actual harm and chaos, then yeah, like, fucked up because... You're purposely trying to stir crap. Purposely trying to stir the pot. And
okay,
just
but then, okay. So I go online tomorrow and I say there's no way a man can become a woman. I don't recognize men who pretend to be women. Right. So I'm stirring up the pot for those who might be considered to be transphobic, for example, inverted commas. Right. So you know, should I be arrested for that? Because you're saying I'm stirring the pot purposely. I'm saying something that's going to incite people, other people, to think the same way against people who might be trans.
No, because to me that's just common sense. But you know, like I said, the far liberals will just go absolutely ballistic. But let them. Like, what? All they're good enough to do is shout. They'd be too scared to do anything, to be honest.
Mm. Well, I don't think so, because people have been arrested for saying what I've just said.
To be honest, now all I think is the far liberals are good for is shouting and spouting. Like, they're just too. They're too scared to do anything about anything.
Should the owners of social media platforms like Pavel Durov, who has been arrested, or Elon Musk, or Mark Zuckerberg, or indeed any of the owners of the social media companies, which are utility companies, should they be arrested?
Put a restriction on me because I was on a different show and I said, yeah, no, you should be able to homeschool your kids, and it was to do with, you know, certain students and how you wouldn't want to be around them. I got a restriction. I was like, are you for real? I was like, there are people saying a hell of a lot worse than me, but I'm getting a restriction.
Well, so you've been restricted, have you, in what you say?
Yeah, so it was kind of like a full-on ban, but I think I nearly did get a ban because of something I said, but I was like, but there has to be people saying 10 times worse out there than me. So like, there's always someone worse than yourself.
No, I would agree, and I don't find you particularly, over the years I've spoken to Jessica, I don't find you anything particularly offensive that you've ever said. Yeah, you've encouraged.
I like to think I'm fairly middle ground.
You've stirred the pot every now and again, but in fairness, so
in a good way, I bring you value every day.
Jessica, lovely talking to you again. Thanks very much indeed. Let me go to Joe. Joe, oh, hold on a second. Joe, hi. How are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you doing?
Good, Joe. I mean, Joe, should there ever be restrictions? Oh, by the way, can I just mention before I go to you, just for people who didn't know, there's breaking news just coming out that the former England manager, Sven-Goran Eriksson, has died after a short battle with cancer. He was 76 years of age. Our thoughts are with his family and his friends. For anybody who was obviously a fan of the English football team. Sorry, Joe, getting back to what we're talking about. I mean, should there be restrictions on speech?
No, there shouldn't be restrictions on speech. Because now, like, everybody is entitled to express their views. The problem is, and I kind of was, I don't know, did you see that video yesterday of Simon Harris at Bale Le Blanc?
Everybody's talking about it. Okay.
And when he was talking about freedoms, Jesus Christ Almighty, this is the same guy back in 2020 that took away people's freedoms, you know, during the COVID pandemic and all this stuff.
Well, they will argue that was in the interest of people's health, but yeah, go on. I agree with you. I didn't agree with lockdowns or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, they're talking about freedoms. Like, it's laughable. They're taking away people's freedoms. And anytime you hear politicians talk about freedoms, it's like looking at an episode of the Benny Hill Show. You'd actually laugh your banana skins off at it. Like, you know, it is just totally comical. No, look, if somebody, like, the only thing I will say, though, like, if somebody, say, if someone is threatening to kill somebody, like, so it's something like that, that's a different kind of thing, situation.
Yeah, but,
like,
wait, but hold on a second. See, here's the thing, right? If somebody goes online and threatens to kill me, for example, because of something I said on the radio or the show, right, that's already illegal. We don't need laws. We don't need restrictions on that. It's already illegal.
Right.
So the guards can be informed. A threat to kill is already against the law in Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't need extra laws for that. That's already there. You get on to whoever the hosting company is. You find out the person's IP address. If you can find out who they are, well, then, you know, we should prosecute them. But that's already illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah, that's a strange... Yeah, that's a very interesting one, which you just said.
Mm.
But, like, you know, for instance, Niall, I've noticed, you know, over the last while, the likes of YouTube now and all these platforms, if you express different views against the state or the kind of political class, you're eventually shut down completely. And I don't agree with that, because I think that's a dangerous road we're going down. And, you know, it's kind of very, very interesting. You just mentioned there about the late Sven Gordon Eriksson. My sincere condolences as well to him. The reason I just mentioned it is that on the 7th of September, you have Keir Starmer coming to Dublin to meet Simon Harris, right? And on the same day, the England national team is coming to play Ireland in Dublin. Now, it's very interesting. This is the same guy, right, who's putting people in jail in England for making different statements about different things.
Mm.
And yet our so-called Taoiseach is entertaining him on the day, you know? And
well, I have to be honest. In the last 7 or 8 years, this is the best relationship to Taoiseach and a Prime Minister have ever had. And the reason for that is because they're both lefties.
Yeah, loony lefties more like it, Niall.
But listen, Joe, thank you for that. Let me go to Jude as well. Jude, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall.
How are you doing? The loony lefties have taken over the asylum. I mean, Jude, most of the stuff that we frown upon on social media is already illegal anyway, be it incitement to violence, be it threats to kill or whatever. That's kind of illegal. But we're now adding hatred to it. We're now adding restrictions on hatred. Do you agree with that?
I think this it's like an oxymoron. Words can't hurt anybody. Speech can't hurt anybody.
Well, they can. They can hurt people. They can hurt people in the sense that if somebody has a huge influence online and tells other people to go out and act, or a call to action, you know, take up your knives and we'll all meet at 7 o'clock and burn the kip down, that can cause problems.
Words, you cannot legislate for words. It's freedom of speech. Even politicians go on about misinformation and all this, and they're going on and they're spouting all this crap. Freedom of speech means freedom of speech. Words can't hurt anybody. There's legislation there for actions. It's illegal to act on something. You can't hurt anybody. You can't harm anybody, rob someone, hurt them, rape them, take their property away from them. That's illegal. There's laws there. As you said, there's laws there. But the freedom of speech is... It can't hurt anybody. Junior, if you act... on that, if you break it, because there's already laws there for it, as you said.
I remember the Green Party, Pauline O'Reilly, last year, wasn't it? Last year, when she was talking about the hate speech laws, she said, you know, that we have to control what people say. And that's what she said. Not those words, but I'm paraphrasing. But that's what she said, the government were right to do that.
But if you control what people say, that's not freedom of speech. Like, even this, remember this AM was, and I remember many times, and you said many times you were against it. You were many times. This freedom of, or this hate speech act that we're supposed to bring. I was reading yesterday in a paper that they they're leaving it now. They don't want to touch it because it would not pass muster. It wouldn't pass in a court of law because they cannot, you couldn't prosecute it because they, just even the government who want to bring in, they can't define gender and they can't even define the word hate. Imagine, it's a hate speech law, but they cannot even define what hate is.
Hate is an emotion. So it's undefinable. It's like happiness is an undefinable emotion. You can't define hate. You can't, like, your hate and my hate are two different things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You can legislate for actions. You really can, and there's laws there. But you cannot legislate for emotions like hate, happiness, anything. You cannot legislate for that because to legislate for something, don't you have to define it?
Well, you must define it. That's the whole idea of legislation, that you define what you're actually talking about. We know what killing somebody is. We know what murder is. We know, you know, what rape is. You know, it's obviously having sex with somebody without their consent.
And there's laws there.
Absolutely.
Already.
Yeah.
There's laws there to say.
To define it. Yeah.
You can rape, you might want to be able to, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be hard with that. You might want to rape someone. You might wish to rape someone. And that's great. No, it's not great, but until you do it,
you're not breaking
the
law.
It's not a crime.
Well, yes and no, right? And I agree with you in relation to rape, okay? And it is disgusting to have those thoughts.
I'll use that as an example.
For example, let's take murder. Even if you don't commit a murder, if you conspire with somebody else in relation to murder, that's already illegal as well. So what I'm saying is,
that's an action. To conspire is an action.
Well, not necessarily. It can be just words. You, like, for example, you can ring somebody up tomorrow and say, listen, for 10 grand, will you kill Niall Boylan? And if it's found out...
But you did it. There's an action there.
No, not necessarily. You know, the person doesn't even have to kill me. The fact that you've conspired with somebody to do that, even without them doing it, is already illegal, by the way. So that is words.
Because to have that as a law, to conspire, it's still an action. But to feel the emotion... Okay, as I bring it back, I'll bring it back again. I cannot define. Because... The courts can only act on laws. They can't.
No. I get what you're saying. I could turn around on the air right now and say, geez, I wish I could rob a bank. Now, because I could do it a few quid. Right. So essentially what I'm saying is I wish I could break the law. Right. But I'm not going to break the law.
And exactly.
Yeah, okay. So I get the point you're making.
Courts and judges can only act on laws that are there to punish people who break the law. But the government here, with obviously they're going to scrap it, wanted this hate speech law. But they were actually given the courts power to enforce a law that they couldn't even define. Courts and judges can only...
No, I understand. You're basically talking about thought police. And that's essentially what the Orwellian hate speech laws that we wanted to bring in. And by the way, Jude, when you say they've put it on the back burner, that doesn't mean they're not going to bring it in. What they're doing is they're terrified to bring it in before the next general election. So they'll wait till the general election is over and then they'll bring it in January or March next year. Jude, thank you for that because I have so many people to get to. Morris obviously wants to talk about Simon Harris and his speech in Bail na Blá as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Yeah, Niall, just on another thing, I was born a free man in this country, as you were. The rivers run free in this country. And if I have something to say, I want my freedom of speech to be allowed to say it. Now, yesterday was an abuse of free speech, as far as I'm concerned, and what Harris did. And the amount of Catholic organisations that have come out and criticised them, they basically accused them of rubbishing the Irish people and talking down to them because he's been picked on social media and people are making threats against them.
But can I just say, people shouldn't be making threats against him personally, or they shouldn't be threatening him.
I understand that. Yeah, but you know there's madmen out there. You know there's madmen out there that make threats. Who made threats against Mary Lou MacDonald? He's in prison now, waiting on trial. Right? There are lunatics out there. But I'll tell you one thing about the likes of Simon Harris and his ilk and his party colleagues. Not one of them has the balls to pull on a uniform or pick up a weapon to defend this country.
But we don't know that. We haven't had that threat yet, so we don't know that.
But they would. Now, I'm telling you, from the way I look at them and the way I see them and the way they operate and the way they...
I know. I mean, I'm looking online and he's been criticised quite a lot in relation to what... I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't hear his speech in Bail na Blá. But I've looked
You'd
online
be ashamed
about...
of him.
Well, I've looked online at what other people have said about it, and he has been criticised immensely in relation to what he said.
Yeah.
And people said it was an insult to the Irish people and an insult to the memory of Michael Collins, who fought for freedom, by the way. But in relation to free speech, Morris, right, generally speaking,
yeah.
I mean, do you believe people should be allowed to say whatever they want online? Unless it's illegal,
talking,
of course.
If talking freely and within reason, and they're not making allegations against you or making allegations
that's defamation. That's illegal anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, the example you used about, okay, I'd love to rob a bank. Okay, fine, you've mentioned that and you've said it. But if you do that, your freedom is gone because you've committed a crime.
Okay, yeah, so when you say you should be able to speak within reason, this is where the problem lies. So what does within reason mean? I mean, should I be allowed to go online tomorrow and say, "Jeez, I believe Hitler was a great lad"?
I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, look, I'll go on and say the same about Putin. Oh, Putin is a great president. You just taking his country back.
Yeah. So where does the within reason come in? Should I be allowed to say those things? It's my opinion. Well, it's not personally my opinion, by the way.
I know they're extreme, but I'm just saying. But I mean, at the end of the day,
that's an extreme opinion, which I wouldn't agree with. But I mean, should I be allowed to say that?
Everybody's fearful about this hate speech coming in.
But you're not answering my question. When we talk about
should you be allowed to say what you like?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, within reason.
You keep adding the line at the end within reason. So I've asked you a straight question. Should I be allowed to go on X or Facebook or TikTok tomorrow and put up, "I believe Hitler was a great lad and he had the right idea"? Again, not that I agree with that opinion, but should I be allowed to do that?
Yeah, you're using it as a metaphor. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you basically, you know, if that's what you wanted, you say, "Well, I'm saying this because that's my opinion." And if you write that down, then who's to argue with you? You're entitled to your opinion.
Okay, so
regardless what it is.
Okay, well that's a fair example. Okay, so you agree basically with free speech?
To a certain extent, but I don't believe in people jumping on a bandwagon of bail not law where a man paid with his life and a clown of a fellow.
With the greatest respect, Morris, you're as bad as the other people then who want to restrict speech, because I don't agree. From what I'm reading, I don't agree with Simon Harris, and I didn't hear him. From what I'm reading, I don't agree with him, but I believe he should be entitled to say it.
Listen, all I'm saying is he disrespected a sacred place in Irish history to put on his bullshit, and people are
hang on. That's fine that he did all of that, and people are entitled to disagree with him, and they're entitled to interrogate what he said. But he should be allowed to say it. The point I'm making is free speech should be absolute.
I'll tell you what he should be allowed to do as well. He should be allowed to come out and apologise for what he done yesterday. And then the people of Ireland might think he has a heart or a pair of balls.
And if he doesn't apologise for what he said, you have an opportunity in the next general election not to vote for him or his party.
I think the speech should go to the Attorney General, and he should look at it for incitement to hatred against the Irish people in the Republic of Ireland.
That's entirely up to you or other people to make a complaint in relation to that if you feel it was incitement to hatred. Thank you for that, Morris. Let me go to Carl. Or Carla. Sorry, I do apologise. Carla, hi, how are you?
Hi there, Niall.
Good. I mean, okay, so what we're asking really today is, you know, is freedom of speech absolute? Should there be any restrictions on it?
I think the general consensus is, like, quite sensible today, but the thing I worry about with this whole debate is, you know, are our thoughts in our head even safe anymore? You know, like, Isabel von Spruce was arrested twice for silently praying outside an abortion clinic.
That's right.
In the UK. On days when it wasn't operating as an abortion clinic.
Yeah, she was just standing there. I saw the video. She was stood there silently, and the police come over and arrested her and asked her what she was doing. She said she was silently praying, and they arrest her.
Like, this is what terrifies a lot of people, like, you know, the likes of you and me. And, you know,
I'm not a believer in God, by the way, but I believe in people's right to pray. But, you know what I mean?
Like, freedom of faith, you know? Like, she was not doing anything to anyone. She was just standing there praying in her head. And, you know, like, how many media outlets are talking about that? Not. And, you know, that is terrifying. People like me and people like you who believe that people should be able to express their faith, their creed, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's just, it's a very terrifying arena at the moment. Now, I know that she got awarded recently, you know, that, like, you know, compensation or whatever. But it's still setting a precedent. It doesn't matter, like, what she was awarded, but the fact that it's happened across the water with our neighbours, and we have an impending hate speech bill, and what happened to the founder of Telegram, like, I only found out that yesterday myself. But, you know, I know that there, I'm on Telegram myself, and I've seen what, you know, can go on, and I think, you know, there are dark bits of it. But during, you know, the pandemic or whatever you'd like to call it, some people like myself had nowhere to talk, to interact. We were all, you know, pariahs, and people were in Facebook jail, Twitter jail. We couldn't access our accounts at times. But the likes of Telegram allowed us to converse with people and to feel less alone. And it's just, it's becoming very terrifying, and, you know, it's very George Orwell's, you know, novel is coming to life.
I couldn't disagree with you. During the pandemic, by the way, as well, when people who disagreed with lockdowns, the Department of Health were paying an organization to basically monitor social media. I was named on that report that was given to the government on numerous occasions, which I object to, by the way. I was named as being anti-establishment in media because I was working, obviously, in radio at the time, and I still am. And I was named particularly as being anti-establishment, anti-lockdown in media. And that was called the Keynesian Report by Mark Little. Mark Little, who was a former CEO, by the way, of Twitter, ironically enough. And it just goes to show you there is a level of control because they want to control. I mean, who's to say, by the way, my views of being anti-lockdown, which I was, I'm not doubting, I'm not contradicting that. I was against lockdowns in the latter half of COVID-19. But then again, most logical people were. And we now know, of course, that lockdowns didn't benefit society whatsoever. It didn't make any difference, according to most published reports now. So I was actually on the right side of the argument. But again, I was told I was on the wrong side. I was also against the idea of segregating people based on the fact that they got a vaccine or didn't get a vaccine. Whether you agree with vaccines or disagree with vaccines, I believe that it should be people's free choice to get them. So I was castigated for all of that. I was one of the only ones in media who did it. But should I have been banned from doing that?
Absolutely not. Unless you were, you know, chanting from the rooftops about insurrection and, you know, arranging meetings yourself.
Didn't do any of that.
You know, like, unless you're doing something extreme like that, there shouldn't be, you know, like, there's a huge, this is another example of inhibiting, like, you wouldn't curse around a five-year-old child, because, you know, it's not necessarily right to teach them, you know, the F word, the C word, you know, all of the expletives. But, like, you know, if we're all adults, you know, conversing in a group on the likes of Telegram, you know, talking about how we feel about certain things, you know, we should have those spaces.
But the only thing I do agree with lately is there is a lot more conversation lately about children being on social media. When I say children up to the age of 16, I do agree with that conversation, that we need to have a very serious conversation about social media and children and their role on social media. But over the age of 18, I don't agree with any restrictions.
No, like, you know, you're legal adults, you know, I don't think 18-year-olds are necessarily that, you know, mature, but, like, you know, you're a legal adult.
You're probably right.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, Carla, so you don't believe in any restrictions, and primarily what you've brought up there is a very interesting point in relation to people's faith. People should be allowed to practice their faith, even silently or, by the way, outwardly if they want to do it, as long as they don't incite violence against each other. Let me go to Lorenzo. Thank you, Carla. Lorenzo, hi, how are you?
Oh, good, Niall. How are you?
Good. Lorenzo, sorry, I'm going to have to get through people very quickly because we've gone over time once again. We have so many people want to get on. In relation to free speech, do you believe it's absolute? Should there be restrictions on speech?
I think free speech, as you were even saying, and more people were kind of indirectly saying, doesn't exist. Because if you really believe in freedom of speech, you can say whatever you want. So if you start to say, yes, but, yeah, you can say that, but it's not freedom of speech.
Well, so, the only buts I put in are things that are already illegal. Like people mentioned child pornography earlier on, for example, that's illegal. You know, to organise an event where people should, act illegally is already illegal. You know, if you tell people to meet in town at 7 o'clock for a protest and people meet in town and they start burning cars, that's already illegal. You shouldn't be responsible for that.
Exactly. No, exactly. I mean, the only thing that I see as restriction is that if you say your opinion has to be labeled as your opinion, you can't then lie saying, I think this because, and then pull up facts that are made up or that they have no scientific proof. So in that case, if that is a lie, you can't publish it.
Well, no, why not? Why can't you publish it? But you can, you should be allowed. No, you're wrong, Lorenzo. If I post on Twitter tomorrow, or X as it's called now, I believe illegal migration is dangerous because, and here's a load of facts, and I put up a load of stuff that's untrue, right? I make up a load of stuff, right? Well, then it's up to other people who then post on that platform and say, actually, no, Niall, you're wrong, because that's not true. This is the actual fact. And by the way, at X, they have things called community notes where people can put up, misinformation facts. So, but what, should I be arrested for telling lies?
No, absolutely. I'm not saying arrested. I'd say that the post should be removed because it's not scientifically valid.
But it doesn't matter.
But
throughout time, people have posted misinformation, or misinformation, as Ben said earlier on, he's right, is a fancy word for lies, right? I mean, what about people who are flat earthers who post stuff online saying the earth is flat? We know
they're
wrong.
They shouldn't be allowed.
But they shouldn't be. They should be allowed, or they shouldn't be?
They shouldn't.
Why?
Because it's a lie.
Why?
Because it's a lie.
I think they're funny more than anything else, to be honest with you. But no, hold on. Now what you're doing is you're restricting. That's their opinion. They're completely incorrect as far as I'm concerned and as far as most logical scientists are concerned. But here's the thing. Why should we not let them do it?
Because in the same way that if you are spreading a lie and making a social construct that then creates problem, you can't say yes to somebody and not to other something.
Well, let me give you another example. No. During COVID-19, many people at the very start posted that the virus was leaked from a lab in Wuhan. Those people were banned from social media. They had their accounts closed by Facebook and Twitter, and they were removed from social media. It now turns out they were correct. The most likely place the COVID virus came from was a lab in Wuhan. And now the CIA and everybody have acknowledged that that's probably true. So we were wrong to ban them. So if we start banning people for opinions that we think, no, I know the earth is round. It's never going to be proven that it was flat. Maybe in the future, maybe, I don't know. But if the earth is round. But I mean, we shouldn't ban people for opinions that we don't agree with. You know what I mean? This is just wrong to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying, for the fact that, as I said at the beginning, the freedom of speech doesn't exist. And that's the problem in terms of, as we are as humans, it can't exist. Because there will be always somebody say, no, it's not true, or no, it's a lie, or somebody say, I'm right, you're wrong. The point I'm making is, if you are, again, those guys that they were saying that was from a Wuhan lab, they were banned for political reasons, not for scientific proofs. So if you say, hey, that is where it comes from, and it's true, it's true. But if you're saying something that you were saying about Adolf Hitler or whoever that can create a social problems is a social problems. So then you have to take responsibility about what you do.
I think people who post this stuff should take personal responsibility for what they say. And personal responsibility means that other people will disagree with them and tell you you're wrong and condemn them for saying it. But I don't believe that means you should be banned or jailed for it.
No, jailed, absolutely not. Because, I mean, the whole point of the freedom of speech idea was because we passed centuries of you can't say anything, you can't publish a book, you can't say anything that is not what we believe is true. So that's why then we are going and we went on the total opposite and extreme okay. where everything is opened and nobody can say anything. And then now you see that people realize that it's not good and they're turning back. So even what you were saying in England that they're doing, if you do a meme or a post or something, it's basically going back to the Catholic Church in the 1700s where you were burned on the stake.
For being a heretic. Yeah. Absolutely. It is the same thing to some degree. Thank you for that, Lorenzo. Sorry for making... I'm going to have to be really quick with people now they're giving out to me. Niamh, hi, how are you?
Hi.
How you doing? Good. Niamh, freedom of speech, does it have restrictions or should it have restrictions?
No, shouldn't at all. I don't believe at all.
Lorenzo used the example of flat earthers, for example. Should flat earthers be allowed to put stuff up online saying, you know, the earth is flat?
Yeah, because there'll always be people who will argue against it. And that's what it's all about. We're human. And as somebody said earlier on, I'm saying this now, it's so important today to have freedom of speech more than anything in the last few years.
Okay, let me give you one quick example.
Because of the government's misinformation.
Okay, quick example I used earlier on. Should I be allowed to post online tomorrow if I want to? Not that I would agree with it. Hitler was a great guy and he had the right idea.
Yeah, as much as that's horrible, and I would think you were an arse for that. However, when I see anyone putting anything like that, that's ridiculous. I just turn around to myself and say, "What an arsehole," and I get on with my day. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Some people do that to get a rise out of people. Some people put things up.
So it shouldn't
really
be illegal for me to say that. I shouldn't go to jail for saying something like that.
I think it's an awful thing for Jews to hear that who live.
Of course. Yeah.
In those days, or our close family.
It's anti-Semitic, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The same way comedians can make jokes about rape and things like that I think are horrible, but I'm not going to ban them. But for somebody who was sexually raped or anything like that, that's horrible for them to hear. But we're all human, and we all, everywhere you go and walk in your circle of friends, we're not all going to agree. And I've said things sometimes where my family members or friends have said to me, "Oh my God, it wasn't a terrible thing that I said. It was raw emotion." And they didn't like it. But tough. I never set out to hurt anyone, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like I say, with the government lying so much over the last few years that I realised I never did before, never took much notice, I think it's very important for freedom of speech. And it's a human thing. And as you heard before, love and hate and all, I don't believe in incitement to hate or anything like that. But we all feel certain ways about things, and we're going to say it anyway. That's my point. We're going to say how we feel anyway. And there seems to be two groups of people where half of them agree with certain things and the other half don't online.
Mm-hmm.
And we both believe we're right. But that's the way it should be. But I hear other people on the other side, probably on my side as well, but I haven't seen it as much, where they're talking about people like they're the scum of the earth, far right, Nazis, racist, bigots. And people aren't like that. There are people like that, but most people are not hateful.
I've been called worse than that online, by the way, but sure, I just block people. I just,
it's shocking. Yeah.
Yeah, I just but block people. You can look, if you don't like people, you just block them if you want to. You know what I mean? The arseholes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. The main thing is that people are going to feel that way anyway. Get over it. If people hurt you, just block them or whatever and move on. Some of the things online are shocking. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to defend.
Well, I saw the worst of it during the elections, by the way, when I was running for election. I saw the worst.
I've seen some of that. It was vile. I know.
It was vile.
Shocking.
Yeah, stuff from 2011, which was completely, by the way, out of context. Anyway, but listen, Niamh, thank you for that. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? If I couldn't talk, I'd be gone.
Yeah.
I have an opinion about everything. I mean, we all have opinions about everything, and, like, nobody takes it. I mean, do your kids take you serious? And if your opinion doesn't, you know, you just have your... That's your thought. That's how you think. You're entitled to it. We're human. We all have a different way of thinking. You'd be desperate if we're all talking out the same hymn sheet.
Yeah, but there is, you know, there is extremes. I mean, you know, Bernie, your opinion is, but your opinion, you know, can be different to others, and that's why you're on the show, of course, on a regular basis. It's different to other people sometimes, but it's not extreme. You've never said anything that I would consider to be extreme.
No, I mean, if you want to think the earth is square, sure, that's fine, on you go. I mean, it's not going to affect me. I'm still going to be going out doing my gardening tomorrow, do you know?
Yeah, but if you want, but if you wanted to start up the, you know, the Hitler Appreciation Society online, should you be allowed to do it?
Well, I wouldn't be personally involved with myself in it, but if that's what you want to do to get your sick, that's a bit of a sickness now in my head. But again, that person thinks that they're doing something. I'm not going to, there's nothing to do with me.
Mm.
I don't have to read it. I don't have to get involved in it. You know what I mean? We have freedom of our thoughts. Do you know?
Okay, so you don't believe there should be restrictions even on that or things like
no,
that?
No, I mean, I don't like the stuff that goes up about, you know, these awful, horrible, you know, comments and vile things that are printed about people. That's terrible. That's not a personal, you know, sense in defaming somebody's good character.
Oh, that's different. But defamation is already against the law. So if people put up people post horrible things about me sometimes, about, you know, my views or other people's views.
Well, where are they, Niall? I'll fucking find them.
But here's the thing. But if somebody put something up about me that's completely untrue, like if somebody put up tomorrow Niall Boylan's a paedophile or something like that, that's defamation. Oh, yeah. So that's already illegal. So I can take a case against that person if I find out who they are, and I can sue them. That's already illegal. So those things are already illegal. Yeah. But an opinion is different.
Yeah, your opinion, but everyone's opinion matters. Isn't that what they tell us? But I mean, I'm very anti at the government myself personally at the moment. I feel they've let us all down really badly, and they don't seem to be on a crash course to disaster for all of us. But I'm saying that's my opinion, but somebody else can tell me something else. And I will listen to that and see, can I assimilate some of that into what I'm thinking to try and stop my way of thinking. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I try to broaden the horizon if you get more impact.
To the owners of these companies, X, Facebook, you've heard the owner of Telegram has been arrested in France, right? So, I mean, yes. And I reckon Elon Musk is probably next to be arrested. If it's not this week, it'll be very soon. Do you reckon those people are responsible? Should they have a responsibility for what goes up on their platforms? After all, the platforms are just a utility company, just like I'm speaking to you now. Should the owner of the internet company that provides the service for me and you to talk now be responsible for what you and I say?
Personally, I don't understand, as Niall, I'm a bit stupid. I just know that some things is very insightful to hatred. You know, there's a lot of things that should be, as a universe, we should revisit all these platforms and say what we feel as human beings we don't want to see on them. You know, like children being pornography and all that.
Oh, that's already illegal. Child pornography is illegal already. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, none of that, and not to be, you know, things like we should be able to have a say. But I mean, those platforms, we don't have to join them. You know, I'm not a member of Facebook anymore. I'm a member of X. I don't have to. I don't want to be on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel I have enough in my life to listen to people. I prefer to listen to the person rather than have to read up about it. But I will occasionally go to YouTube and look up different things. I didn't know who the hell was Pavlov, la, la, la.
Yeah.
So I kind of made myself knowledble to find out who he was. Do you know?
Yeah, he was the founder. But, I mean, he was the founder of a social media company, Telegram. Yeah.
Yeah. I just read briefly his buy-up, and that was fine. I mean, that's my decision and my choice, and that's where I got my information.
But is he responsible? You know, he has a messaging company like WhatsApp, like other messaging companies or social media companies. So, and people on that platform, you know, were involved in fraud, drug trafficking, cyberbullying, organized crime, promotion of terrorism. I could equally argue that people have used telephones for years to organize crime, be involved in terrorism. So does that mean that we should get onto Air and Vodafone and everybody else and close them all down and arrest their CEOs?
You can't. We're not. This is human beings, human nature, humankind, human speech. This is what we are. We're human. We're not robotic yet.
Hmm.
You know, so
were they right to arrest him?
No, they shouldn't have arrested him unless he'd done something against that country. Personally, I don't know the background, but did he say incite hatred?
Well, he didn't personally, but people using his utility did. And this is the argument I'm making. So, you know, people using AT&T, which are phone network in America, I'm sure there was people who were responsible for 9/11, used telephones on networks. I'm sure they used an Apple phone or a Samsung phone at some point. Should, you know, Tim Cook from Apple be arrested as well? you know, while we're at it.
No, you see, this is, no, this, and I think it's, that's going down a very, very strange road. That's ridiculous. Like, you, we use the air or you use electricity, you know, are we going to respond to them because they poured in the electricity into the place and
well,
went
but that's what I'm saying. Where does this end? Where do you end that, that, you know,
exactly,
that kind of thought?
So we need to revisit all these things and say, right, well, this is bullshit. We can't. People are entitled to their opinions. It mightn't be your opinion or I mightn't agree with your opinion, but you're entitled and it should be respected. Obviously, dark and horrible things that we don't agree with, you can turn them off.
Okay, thank you for that, Bernie. Maureen, just very quickly, because everyone rapidly out of time here, but Maureen, I would not let you have your freedom to speak. Maureen, does freedom of speech come with any kind of restrictions, in your view?
No, I'm a free speech absolutist.
Mm.
And that's Herr Harris had the gall to defame Michael Collins' memorial. And he gaslit the people that were standing there. Yep, our democracy is under attack. And who attacked democracy in the first place? They did. How many posts were put up? How many people came on television and said us unvaccinated should not be treated in hospital? Basically, let us to die. We should be put here, this should be done to us, and that should be done to us. There, but there's no talk about the, how we were treated. But you know what? We took it because that was our choice.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no talk about that. And people must realize there is an agenda here. 2025 is coming. They have to have certain things in place by 2025 and certainly by 2030. Because dictators have done it down through centuries. They silence free speech so the dissenters won't voice their opinion against them. And they put in the jackboot. Well, that can't happen. Because the basis of a democracy is freedom of speech. And we're supposed to live in a democratic republic. Well, sorry to burst people's bubbles, but that went out the window a long time ago. We are now in a dictatorship, full blown.
Maureen, sorry for cutting you it short, but thank you very much indeed for that. And I appreciate your opinion. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's conversation. I would love to have led so many other people on. There was lots and lots of people wanted to come on the show today, but unfortunately we didn't have the time to let everybody on. Sorry we started a bit late as well, by the way. We had a slight technical problem. Just some of your WhatsApp messages, by the way.
Good afternoon, Noel. Regarding the topic today, no, I think the only restriction on speech anywhere should be incitement, actively calling for violence upon people. Other than that, opinions and ideas, no, it should be left alone. Like, you can see what's happening in England, people getting sentenced for opinion and for praying in public and their heads, tall police everywhere. It's a very, very dangerous road we're on. And the reason is because the politicians know now we're onto them and they're running for their bleeding lives is all this is. Right, they saved their necks. No, I believe free speech is absolute unless, of course, you go and incite violence or actually want to harm somebody. Then, of course, in the restful offence, which we already have laws for. Now, politicians running scared is all it is and they are the biggest proponents of misinformation and lies out there. So, you know. Spade to spade and all that. Cheers, Noel.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks. Some of the messages, by the way, Mike says on Twitter, aside from the viable direct threats or viable incitement to violence, yes, it should be absolutist. He even insults, even insults are free speech, says Mike. Just saying, says on X, I'm not a free speech absolutist. I believe that all speech should be allowed that can change an opinion or correct a course. Otherwise, it is useless to criticize religion. Yes. Skin color. No. Culture. Yes. Ethnicity. No. Etc. Just saying. James Stefano says in relation to a free speech being absolutist, he said this is bad phrasing. The question should be posed, is free speech the default? The answer is yes. There should be a very high hurdle to regulate speech, and is that if it isn't met, it should be curtailed by government. Flank on X says the anti-speech legends of the 1940s, Germany and Italy, would love the EU of today. And Galway Girl sends me a really long message. I'm not going to get to read it all, but she says, "Hi, Noel. I believe in free speech as long as the speaker understands there are consequences to it and is prepared to take those consequences, which could lead them to being harmed in some way. That is their choice." I agree with you, by the way, Galway Girl. Like, if you say something that gets you personally harmed or you lose your job for saying it, yeah, I understand that can happen. And that's just a fact of free speech and a consequence of free speech. But should you go to jail, Galway Girl? I would think not. And I think you probably agree with that. Right. Loads and loads of texts, by the way, coming in. Thank you, Galway Girl, for your nice message, by the way, as well. Can I mention as well, of course, Thomas Jefferson, who is the US founding father, said, "Freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of free society is dissolved and tyranny is erected in its ruins. And he is right. And by the way, it's really important. This is the point. I promote the show and promote, by the way, you supporting our show. And the reason I say that is because now is the time you need to help us and support us more than ever. Because I predicted back in February last year that Twitter, or X as it's now known, will be gone before the end of the year from Europe. That time is getting closer. They do predict, a lot of people are predicting online, that Elon Musk will be the next to be arrested. As you've just seen, you know, the founder, the CEO of Telegram has been arrested. TikTok has been banned from certain territories across the world. I do agree, by the way, we're protecting children online when it comes to TikTok, when it comes to Twitter, when it comes to Facebook, when it comes to all of these things. I've said for years that I don't believe teenagers under the age of 16 should be allowed on them, because I believe it warps their mind. And I've said that. And I've said they're exposed to way too much under the age of 16. But when it comes to consenting adults, I don't believe there should be any restrictions on speech. I believe, like Galway Girl, there is consequences to what you say. And those consequences can lead to you personally losing your job, your credibility, or indeed, you know, being harmed because of what you say. But I don't believe people should be arrested. If you say something racist online, should you be arrested? Absolutely not. But there should be personal consequences for you saying something racist online. And people will know the type of person you are then. I believe the things that are already illegal shouldn't be online. But they're already illegal. For example, if you threaten to kill somebody, there's a consequence to that. You should be found out and you should be arrested and charged, because threats to kill are already illegal. If you incite violence, that's already illegal online. If you put up pornography or child pornography, that's already illegal. So those things are already illegal. If you break a law, it's already illegal. For example, if you put up online that you're going to go out and set fire to a building, if you set fire to that building, it's already illegal. You've committed arson. If you don't set fire to that building, well, you've just thought about it, haven't you? If you put up online that you want to rob a bank because you need the money, but you don't actually rob a bank, well, then that shouldn't be illegal because you haven't actually robbed the bank. So what we're doing is making thought illegal by making that post illegal. So we have to be careful. There's a fine line about treading on people's rights. And, you know, and this is where it's so important that you promote, or you help us to promote the show, or should I say support the show, because we need to make sure that we are viable on this show to continue to allow you to have your opinion without Twitter, without Facebook, without social media. And the only way we can do that is by supporting us to make our website robust enough that we can actually broadcast the show on our website every day. If you go to our website now, by the way, you can watch the show live. And we do that to a private listing on Rumble. Now, Rumble, of course, seems to be the one that wants to support free speech and wants to resist all government temptation to close it down. We do that through a thread on Rumble. It's complicated to explain. But our website itself has to be robust enough for a lot of people to join at the same time and watch. We can't do that on our own. And I'll tell you why. It's too expensive, way too expensive for us to do currently at the moment under the model that we have. That's why we need your support. The bills for this show are not covered by subscriptions currently at the moment. We lose money every single month. But we feel it's so important to provide this platform to you that we continue to do it. One of us every single month, there's three of us responsible for this show, by the way, putting it out on the air every single day, making sure we have callers, making sure we have guests for Zoom or whatever it is. There are three of us that put it together every single day, putting it up online afterwards. But all of that costs money, and one of us every month has to put our hand in our pocket to make up the bills, because there's bills. We have to host it. That costs money. We have an internet bill. That costs money. We have a building. That costs money. We have light. We have electricity. That all costs money. But we have three jobs. We have our own jobs. So we don't get paid for doing it. But we just love doing it. We're doing it now over a year. We get enough money most months just about to cover the bills. But some months we don't. This month, we didn't. So that means we have to beg to you to give us money. And I know that's really horrible in some way, but there's no other way of doing it. But you do get entertainment from it. Thousands of you watch the show daily on Twitter, X, Facebook, YouTube, and you watch it on our website now as well. And apart from our website, the ones who pay €2 to watch it on our website without any advertising on it, we don't carry advertising. The rest of you all watch it for free. So we're giving you something for free every single day. And all we ask you in return is every now and again, if you can, throw us a couple of quid, throw us a fiver, the price of a cup of coffee. by just going to our website, nileboylan.com. Show us a fiver, a tenner, 20. If you're rich and you can afford quite a substantial amount of money and you support free speech, well, then throw us a lot more so we can continue to do this and make it bigger and better. It's not easy, by the way. There's some sort of delusion out there that if you're doing a podcast, you must be making a fortune. I can tell you now that's not true. Most people who are doing podcasts are not making a fortune. Some are making large amounts of money, but they're not the ones that are actually out there supporting free speech. They're the ones who are out there being told what to say. So please support us and support free speech and support us giving you the opportunity to come on air and talk freely every single day. Please support that by going to our website, nileboylan.com. Do it now, not tomorrow, not later. Do it now. And throw us a fiver or a tenner, anything at all you can. It's the end of the month now. We're screwed every single month when it comes to our bills. So please do it now before the bills come in at the end of the month. Thank you very much indeed. And we shall be back again with you tomorrow at 12 o'clock where you can come on the air again and have your opinion about whatever the topic happens to be. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.